Greetings, friends. This is Brother H.L. Davis of Grapevine, Texas, bringing you our program of Bible Truths. We pray that God will bless you as you listen and partake with us of the Word of God. We read our scripture from Luke chapter 23, verse 39 through verse 43. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly? For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." We'd like for us to consider today this 43rd verse, the answer of Jesus to this thief, "Shalt thou be with me in paradise?" Here in the Gospel of Luke, the chosen disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus, the anointed of God, is pictured an incident that to most of the proud and self-exalted individuals of our land would be a disgraceful scene. Jesus, the King of the Jews, hangs between two common criminals. The word malefactors, relating to us the meaning of two criminals. That is exactly what the word malefactor means, is a criminal. Remember, God has instructed it advisable to seek out at least two witnesses before the establishment of any fact, truth, or doctrine. Jesus himself quoted this during his ministry and teaching of the disciples. In Matthew 18, verse 16, Jesus said that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Yes, Jesus would require us to seek the witness of at least two. It is commonly believed by many in the realm of Christianity of today that Jesus made a positive statement and promise to one of these criminals that the very day that he was dying on the cross, he would be together with Jesus in paradise. But my brother, under careful investigation of the scripture, will this point of view hold together? We take under consideration other witnesses of the crucifixion. First, consider this. If Jesus meant in this statement that this criminal would be with him conscious and alive, that it means literally that Jesus, after all, did not die. Then, if he did not die, he was not in the heart of the earth, as he previously had said in Matthew 12:40, where Jesus taught his disciples, "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Now, can we accuse Jesus of saying one thing today, then tomorrow changing to something else? Was Jesus really sure of himself when he said he would be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth? Yes, the scoffers and infidels would win their point if Jesus really did not die, but was in paradise with a thief the day of the crucifixion. The Bible surely is contradictory if this be the truth. But this charge is false. Jesus died. Jesus gave up the ghost. Jesus was buried in the tomb of Joseph. In the original writings of the Word of God and the Gospels, the words are inspired, but the punctuation marks have been added by the understanding of men. I believe in rightly dividing the word of truth, as the Apostle Paul instructed the young preacher Timothy, in establishing every doctrine and precept upon related truth as found in the Holy Scriptures. To rightly divide the text of Luke 23:43, I believe the comma should have been placed behind the word "today," and that Jesus really, as many times was his custom, answered the thief's question with a question. "Verily, I say unto thee today, shalt thou be with me in paradise?" And a question behind the word "paradise" and the comma behind the word "today." Reason. Let us examine the other witnesses of the scene at the crucifixion. We turn to the account as understood by Matthew. In Matthew 27, verse 38, it says, "Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left." What does Matthew suggest? He mentions nothing of one being in paradise with Jesus, but his testimony is that merely there were two thieves on either side of Jesus. making no distinction between the two. Both, according to Matthew, were condemned criminals. Now, as Mark gives an account also of the incident, we turn to his testimony and hear what his perception concerning the condition of these two conversing with Jesus was. In Mark 15, verse 27, we read, "And with him they crucify two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on the left, silent of any promise of paradise to one of the two." Thus Mark agrees with Matthew. Both were thieves. Nothing said about one being promised an exit to paradise to be together with Jesus, both avoiding the penalty of the Roman law and the law of God. The wage of sin is death, Romans 6:23. If the Bible is true that the wages of sin is death, then we maintain if Jesus was not dead, was not buried, as he said, then really he did not pay the penalty, he did not die. Then if Jesus Christ did not die but led a thief to a heavenly realm of paradise, he was not raised from the dead. Then we see very distinctly we are yet sinners. The debt has not been paid for our sins. Anyone holding this faith has not been forgiven. And the proof of this, it would pay us to look it up and read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 13 and 14. The Apostle Paul says, "If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen?" Now, what is the condition that we're in if Jesus has not been raised, if we have no faith in his death and resurrection? Paul says in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 15, "If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Brethren, we are the judges of things spiritual. The decision is up to us. Did Jesus die, or did he spend 3 days and three nights apart from his body in a place of splendor with a thief? There is absolutely no positive proof that the thief ever died. Let us look at the record of the fourth gospel, that gospel according to John. In John 19, verse 30, we read, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost," or a better translation would be spirit. Verse 31, it says, "The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away." Verse 32 says, "Then came soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him." And verse 33 says, "But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs." Thus the record of John tells us that the thieves did not die that day. And it would be impossible to prove the contrary. The soldiers brake their legs lest they escape after being taken down from the tree of crucifixion. The answer to the question is in what the thief asked of our Lord. Luke 23, verse 42, this is what the thief asked, "Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." This thief had confidence in the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. He had heard Jesus teach the gospel. Proof of this was in that he knew Jesus was truly, as the superscription on the cross read, the King of the Jews. This thief knew that Jesus was condemned to die. He had sense enough to believe what his eyes beheld before him, Jesus dying on a Roman cross. But this thief knew also of the prophecy of the resurrection. He knew Jesus would not remain dead, but would be raised again, and that he someday would come into an everlasting kingdom of God as the everlasting King. This man had done just what many, many of the multitudes of peoples are doing today. He neglected to do what he knew he ought to do. He waited until on his deathbed to desire the promises of the Word of God. No wonder Jesus said, "Shalt thou be with me in paradise?" Why serve self, the flesh, and worldly desires, place all our time and efforts and interest in the world, then on our deathbed, at the last few minutes of our life, ask God to give us of his wonderful and precious promises? The thief did not escape to paradise. His desire was to be in the kingdom of God. Of course, the kingdom of Jesus Christ will be paradise restored. Jesus is not occupying the throne of David today. Proof of this is found in Revelation 3:21, where Jesus said to him that overcometh, "Will I grant to sit with me in my throne, as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne?" What is the throne of Jesus Christ? Brother, it is the throne of David. Proof of this we find in Luke 1, verse 30 through verse 33. For it says there, the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Thus, according to the angel's message and information to Mary, the throne of David will be turned to its rightful heir, and that true heir is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham. Jesus Christ will assume that throne and rule only at his second coming. Proof of this is found in Matthew 25, verse 31. For Jesus said, When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. No, my brother, the saints are not with Jesus now. The tares have not been separated from the good wheat as of yet. Judgment has not been passed upon the world of the unsaved as of yet. That will only happen at Jesus taking of the throne of David, the accepting of the rule of the everlasting kingdom of God. Matthew 25, verse 32, we find the proof for these statements, where Jesus said, And before him, at his coming, when he comes in the glory of his Father with the angels, when he takes this throne and the glory of it, he says, Before him at that time shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. No, the thief did not accompany Jesus to paradise. If he had of, then he would have been separated from the other fellow thief before the judgment and the returning of the judge. I do not believe a righteous God would take a thief, a criminal repenting on his deathbed, to be in a heavenly realm and leave a faithful saint, one whom God loved, one who served God faithful until death, would have left him dead and buried. Can we understand why Jesus would take a thief to heaven or paradise before the time and leave David, the man after God's own heart, dead and in his grave? In Acts 2, verse 29, the Apostle Peter, preaching at Pentecost, brought the brethren's minds to this truth. He said, Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Then he goes on farther and says in verse 34, For David is not ascended into heaven. So we see, my brethren, that it would be very unfair for God to leave a faithful man as David was, dead and buried, and take a thief that had repented on his deathbed to be in a heavenly realm of paradise at his death. So we see the thief is in the same condition as David. According to the scripture, yes, the thief is dead and buried. David is both dead and buried. Both will only live again at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Proof of this is found in the fifth chapter of John, verse 28 and verse 29, where Jesus says, The hour is coming, in the which all that are in their grave shall hear the voice of the Son of Man, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of eternal life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Yes, the book, the Bible, tells us in Revelation 21, at verse 8, that the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And we read in Revelation 22, verse 14, who will really enter that paradise of God, for it says, Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. So may God bless you for listening. This is Brother H.L. Davis of Grapevine, Texas. In the city by the sea,